Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure.
By the way, I think we found a babysitter for the kids.
You think?
Yay!
All right.
So I think Kenzie's back on the trip.
Was it my suggestion or somebody else?
Somebody else. Okay. Yeah, she found someone. But okay. We do have your suggestion right there as the...
In your back pocket.
In the back pocket, just in case we need it. But yeah, we'll be headed out there on Sunday, and you can hear our family vacation live on the radio all of next week. Also, your midweek update's coming up in about 20 minutes, Kid Nation, with our girl Anna. And we have your chance to play
Wheel of Gift Cards.
But right now, we got to get to our love letters to Kelly this morning. And it's brought to you by Legacy Box, by the way.
Memories like the corners of my mind.
If your memories are sitting in corners.
I thought you were going to sing the whole
thing. In boxes. In shoe boxes, because you can't watch those memories because you don't got a beta player.
I ain't got that.
What are you going to do with a VHS tape?
I ain't got that.
And
either.
Those crispy pictures your mom took that she inherited from great-great-grandma, they're starting to yellow and crumble. You got to save those things before they're gone forever. Get them out of the boxes. Get them into a legacy box because they're going to turn all those memories, the whole old home movies and pictures, into professionally digitized thumb drives, digital downloads, DVDs. It's super easy. They send you a box with all these little stickers. You literally just stick them on each item. Stick them on your VHS tape. You stick them on an envelope filled with pictures. Mm-hmm. Send it off. In no time at all, they send it all back to you, professionally digitized and your original, so you don't lose anything. It's a wonderful thing to do. You've got boxes and boxes of this crap. What are you going to do with it? You need to... Get it also minimized.
Yeah,
it's easier to store as well, too. And, of course, to enjoy. So go to legacybox.com/kid right now because for a limited time, they're offering our audience an exclusive discount of 40% off your first order.
It's a big discount.
Legacybox.com/KIDD to save 40%, and you'll start preserving your past today.
Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
My boyfriend and I have been together for 4 years. He's the best. I just love him. We're building our future together, and it looks bright. His family has made me feel so welcomed and loved by them. They've even said I'm the daughter they always wanted. Aww. So I was shocked at family dinner a couple weeks ago when my boyfriend's mom said I wasn't invited to their family vacation.
Ooh.
I wouldn't have had a problem with this, seeing as the past few years I didn't go because I wasn't invited. But this year was different because she was talking about the vacation with me every time I've been over at their house. What the condo looks like, showing me swimsuits she bought, planning what restaurants would be the best to go to, etc. When I asked her to know the dates to try to get off of work, she said it was going to be just the family and then change the subject. I respect and love this woman, but I'm very hurt. Is there a way I can talk about this with his mom in a way that's not going to be awkward or rude? Devin.
Nope. Let it go, Devin.
Yep.
You're not invited.
Not invited, babe.
You want to make things worse? Bring it up again.
Yep.
Put mama on the spot.
What if Devin, that's her name? What if Devin buys a plane ticket?
Nope. No.
Gets a hotel room there and goes, what are the odds?
No, that's a bad idea.
Gotta let that go, Devin.
Because I bet you Devin
You're
thought about that.
Not invited.
Oh.
Interesting you don't want to talk about it with your boyfriend. Why don't you ask him what's up? But I would let that go. If they don't want you there, what are you going to do? Force yourself on the trip? That's awkward. Yeah. No. It'll be other times.
Yeah.
One day, if it does end up in marriage and you are legit part of the family,
then
they say you can't go,
you got
an issue that you need to discuss with husband to address with mama. That's stuff that your man should protect you with the family dynamics. And if your boyfriend really wanted you to go, you'd be going.
Oh, wow.
Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
So I'm a newlywed. This is my first marriage and my husband's third marriage. He has two children from his previous marriages. So only 1 month into our marriage, and he quit his job. I've always been the breadwinner in our relationship and making more money than him. And this didn't really bother me, but now I feel like I'm being used. He's been out of work for over a year and a half, and he's not been making any real consistent efforts to go find another job. Meanwhile, I'm paying for everything. Mortgage, bills, his child support, travel and entertainment. And when I try to encourage him to go get job leads or ask him if he saw anything that interested him, he just gets very angry and we get into a huge fight. Making things worse, through a professional colleague of mine, I found out that my husband's last job was one he had because of his second wife. As his second wife's father owned the company. I feel like I've been duped or like I married a lemon. Yep. The old bait and switch.
Yep.
During our entire 2 years of combined dating and engagement time, I had no idea he was working for his ex-father-in-law. I can't give up on our marriage. We're still newlyweds. And I don't want to coddle him or take care of my husband like a child. Financially and emotionally. Kelly, how can I deal with this dwindling respect for my new husband and still try to save our marriage?
You tell him that exactly what you just told me. I'm losing all respect for you. And if this doesn't change and I don't see some changes, I'm out. Why are you going to... Unless this is the life you're willing to accept for yourself, you married a lemon, just like you said. And he might temporarily put a Band-Aid on it and get a job. What are you going to do a year from now when he decides he doesn't want to do that anymore? Sorry.
Mm. Not to completely... I'll jump on him, but I think it's a good move to quit the ex-father-in-law's job, right? So you're not connected to that.
Oh, yeah, but
that's a good move.
A year and a half later, he still isn't making any efforts because there's been no serious consequence. Sure, you probably yap at him a little bit, but he's like, oh, she'll get over it.
Yeah.
And you do because you want to have a happy marriage. And, you know, if you keep fighting with him about it, it's only going to make things worse. So you try to politely suggest and encourage. Well, that doesn't work. You're married to a bomb. So
maybe your dad will hire him.
Right. Right. But I would just lay it on the line and say, look, our marriage is in jeopardy here. And unless I see some significant changes, I don't know how this family dynamic's not working for me.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, I'm surprised the other two women aren't coming out and saying, see?
I told you.
Probably the same thing. Yeah.
We tried to warn you.
Right.
He's over going, gotcha.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
You're Kelly, your beloved expert.
I am.
My fiance and I have been dating for almost 8 years. There have been highs and lows, but no one has ever loved me or made me as happy as he does. We are an interracial couple. He's white and I'm black. A few years ago, he was making inappropriate jokes and comments because he has zero filter and didn't understand my family. Excuse me. I'm more understanding to the fact that he never really spent time around black people. He thought he was being funny. I told him he can't do that. He didn't want to listen. Thought I was being overly cautious. Fast forward, we are getting married in November, and half of my siblings want nothing to do with him. Since that time, he has matured and come to the understanding of how hurtful and offensive he was being. It makes me sad that my siblings' hatred for him has overtaken their love for me, but there's nothing I can really do. We tried, he tried, he reached out several times, tried to apologize, tried to talk and understand what was so terrible about him. Okay, I sent my siblings, save the date. I guess in hopes that they would at least reach out. Maybe not come, but call or reach out or something. Crickets. Been posting our engagement pics. Crickets. Do I even bother sending them the wedding invite? We have so much love and support from others, but I just get sad sometimes because the people who are supposed to be the closest to me are no longer a part of my life. What do you think I should do? That's from Lee.
Send him the invitation. I mean, if he truly has said, look, and he reached out to everybody and did a true apology, not, I'm sorry if you were offended. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I didn't know better then, but now I know better now. I love your sister. I love your daughter, whoever it is. And I want to make her the happiest I can. And to make her the happiest I can, I need you in her life. And so what do I need to do? That's what your fiance needs to do. And then if they still reject you, honey, you got to choose the love for your man or the people that aren't going to support you. Sometimes bridges are burned and they can never be rebuilt.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Words could
but
cut deep.
Send them the yeah, they can.
Racial
but then there's
words
also
especially.
People that hold on to stuff because that's now true. It's like, now I got to prove a point. And then it almost gets to be embarrassing if they finally cave because they're like, well, now I'll look weak if I forgive him. You know, so then you got to stand off. But if he's truly done that whole thing, he doesn't need to grovel. It doesn't have to be where he emasculates himself. I don't know to the extent that the fiance has apologized.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's just this is the way I feel about your sister, your daughter, whoever, and I want to make her happy, you make her happy, what can I do?
Yeah.
And then if that doesn't work, you got to just live your life. Because you ain't cuddling up with your sisters at bed at night. You're not making babies with your sister at night. You're not going to grow old and hold hands on the front porch with your sister at night. That's the man you've chosen. So.
True that, Kelly Raspberry.
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
I wonder what he said.
But if you've truly exhausted everything.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, it's like white people that think that they can use
the word.
Word because
you can't
use
it. They want to show how cool they are.
Look how cool we are, you know.
Not cool.
Yeah.
Next thing you know.
So he's probably telling jokes thinking, I'm in.
I'm hilarious.
Yeah.
Nope.
I know a dude. I told you about that dude at the favorite place I used to go eat. And he said one of those jokes, said the word, didn't say N word, he said the word, and thought I would just, this is my favorite restaurant. I didn't go back for several months. And it was because of that. Yeah. And then I finally told the bartender there what happened, and he told the guy, and the guy came and apologized to me. So, you know, if you're
an apology can go a long way.
Yeah, you're a forgiving person, that's one thing. But it they cut to the core.
Yeah, you know, people think they apologize, but you ain't apologize.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You're like, oh, come on, get over it. Okay, right. I'm saying I'm sorry, so you get over it. Let's move on.
You could tell us you really mean.
Yeah.
Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
I have been with my boyfriend for almost 7 years. We each have kids from our previous marriages. Times get hard, but we always work things out. Just a few months ago, we found out that we had an unplanned bundle of joy happening. He used to tell me he loved me every morning, text me throughout the day, and tell me he loved me every night before bed. But since we found out that we're having a baby, he has stopped almost everything. Only a handful of people know what's going on, and I'm sad because I can't share what should be a happy time in my life with family and friends. I've expressed that I would be fine doing this alone, seeing as how my other kid's dad has been no help for the last 12 years, but neither one of us is good at talking this stuff through. Please help me if you can. I'm lost, Carrie.
You better talk this stuff through.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably feeling a lot of pressure and stress, as are you. But if you can't talk to each other about it, what's the hope of your relationship surviving when other obstacles arise? So I don't care how much it sucks and how awkward it is. You got to have the conversation about what you're feeling, how he's acting. Why are you treating me this way? He might reveal to you a bunch of information that'll be very useful for you moving forward in this relationship. I don't care how awkward it is. You got to communicate.
Yeah, you do.
90% of the letters I get from Love Letters to Kelly could be resolved if you would just talk to each other. But you got to have the right conversation, too.
Read the letter that you wrote to Kelly to that person. If you can't do anything else.
Yes.
If you can't do anything else, because at least it's out there.
Yeah. And you never know how they'll respond. But you'll get your
answer. But not talking about it is not fixing it.
That is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, that baby's still coming.
Yeah, the baby's still going to show up eventually. If you want to write a love letter to Kelly, go to KidNation.com. The tab's all set up there. You just click on it, write her, and we do them on Mondays and Wednesdays. So we'll be back at it again in Florida.
Yeah.
We're going to be live doing a remote love letter to Kelly next week. So that's going to be really cool. Kelly's going to be in a great mood because Alan's going to be right there on vacation with us. And coming up next, we do have your midweek update with our girl Anna. So what's been going on throughout the week? Well, she'll tell you. And your chance to play Wheel of Gift Cards next.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
And make sure you're listening up, Kid Nation, because we should be telling you to call in to play
Wheel of Gift Cards
pretty soon. But I want to remind you that at this time tomorrow morning, we're going to be chatting with David Harbour, a.k.a. Chief Hopper. From Stranger Things, Season 3 kicks off on 4th of July. And speaking of that, real quick, want to remind you that if you're a fan of Stranger Things and you want to be at the Season 3 premiere in Santa Monica, California, then just post an Instagram video upside down while singing your favorite song and then tag Kid Nation and Stranger Things on that video. Bonus points if you change the words to make it related to Stranger Things. The deadline is tomorrow. Okay?
All right.
Thursday, June 20th. Tomorrow is your deadline.
Got it.
And by the way, we're going to hear him. He's not. So don't come down to the studio, okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, here's Robert.
White Chatter with us.
Speak English and say he's going to be here later today and you'll hear it tomorrow.
Okay. There you go.
Yes. So he's not here, so don't show up tomorrow thinking you're going to be.
Right.
So he is going to be in the studio with us, just don't come tomorrow.
You'll hear it tomorrow.
We're going to chat with him after the show today.
Correct.
Thank you. Now leave.
Did he really come in here and say, I'm going to speak English for you guys real
quick? Was afraid that you weren't communicating clearly enough, Jesse.
Okay.
He wanted to make sure people aren't disappointed when they show up tomorrow and he is not here.
Yes, that's why Trey was kind enough to let me know, to let people know not to show up.
Yeah, but we're all just sitting here looking at you.
I know. I don't know why, but something happened over a couple weeks ago where my headphones don't work as well as they used to.
Oh, need some new headphones.
It's when they try to communicate with me. Don't forget to check out the third season of Stranger Things exclusively on Netflix July 4th. And Anna's in studio with us right now. Hello, Anna.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. How you been?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
If you missed it, it's posted on our Instagram at Kid Nation. All about Anna's road trip.
Oh, yeah.
The recap video's up.
Yeah.
It was smooth.
All went well.
Yes, nothing but good things to say about it.
Which is good. Yeah, your brother made a new best friend, basically.
Yeah, essentially.
To recap it.
And you're still happy in a relationship.
Yes, of course.
But other things have been going on besides Anna's road trip. That's why we got to give you the midweek updates.
Yay!
See, I told you stuff's been going down.
Oh, cute. That makes me so happy. Okay, so... Happy belated Father's Day.
Thank you, everyone.
Did you celebrate with your families on that day? Good. The best part about celebrating dads, though, are the dad jokes.
Yes, I love dad jokes.
Yeah, I personally went to visit my dad over the weekend, and when I arrived and I was like, I'm here, he goes, hi, here, I'm dad. A dad classic. I was going to get him Velcro shoes as a gift, but I knew that he'd think that they were a ripoff.
Oh no.
So I got him an apron instead for when he grills.
Yeah.
But did you hear the rumor about butter?
No.
Oh, I won't spread it.
Oh no, dad jokes.
Your butter believes you called dad jokes.
The dad jokes are real. But so that about recaps my weekend with my dad, and when I left and I told him that I'd call him later, he goes, no, please, call me dad. Oh man.
Until next year, Dad.
Retire those jokes.
Right? Good times.
But speaking of grilling, I guess that's a segue. So Big Al told us the other day about the job of a lifetime where somebody can travel the world and taste like barbecue everywhere and get paid like $5,000 or something. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that Taylor Swift won't be applying because she doesn't have beef anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe Katy Perry was dressed as a hamburger in her music video, but I'm sure she was a veggie burger because that beef is squash.
Oh, that would be a vegetable.
That would have been cool.
Throughout the Gord family.
Imagine if they would have squashed Katy Perry in the video to squash the beef.
Taylor Swift.
Or it could have been taking her out and taking the wrong way.
Oh, that's true. That's why we're not producing these.
Yes, by veggie.
But I'm sorry. I do need to calm down with the puns.
Okay.
Okay, y'all. This is serious.
I feel another pun coming, Anna.
That in itself was a pun because yesterday we found out that this Friday is the release day for Harry Potter Wizards Unite, which is essentially like Pokemon Go, but for us wizards, for us Harry Potter fans, which is really cool because we've been teasing it for like forever, and then just yesterday we found out that it's going to be released on Friday.
Oh, okay.
So that's awesome. I will be playing. It's going to be ridiculous. Which is another Harry Potter joke, but if you didn't get that...
Oh, I didn't get that one.
But yeah, no, if you didn't get that, that's okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay.
JC is...
That's more Harry Potter.
Yeah.
JC is like dying laughing.
Yeah. I'm sure my fellow Potterheads out there are with me. I, by the way, in case y'all were wondering, I'm a Hufflepuff with a Gryffindor moon, of course. My Patronus is a dolphin.
Love Patron.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Mm.
So that's the dolphin of this topic. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
That was all just Harry Potter.
The end.
Okay. Yeah. We're going.
All right.
This is cool for me because I love reality television.
Mm-hmm.
MTV is bringing back The Hills on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The Keeping Up with the Kardashians finale is on Sunday. And then Big Brother starts on Wednesday.
I might watch it this time.
The cast looks good.
Yeah.
I always say I will, and I don't.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I love reality TV, and it's a reality TV overload next week. But Instagram was down yesterday, so I hope that they're all doing okay.
Okay.
It's been down all the time lately, huh?
What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are they making changes unbeknownst to us?
Maybe.
But the biggest reality TV show that we like to talk about, of course, is The Bachelorette.
Yes.
And man, oh man, speaking of calming down, everybody on this week's episode needed to calm down.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, maybe, because we only saw really like half of what an episode would have been, because the second half was just a recap of everything that we've already seen.
Right.
Yeah. Basically just starting over from the beginning. Yeah, so anyway, happy belated Father's Day.
It was
all the dad jokes, all the puns.
Yeah,
that Harry Potter stuff, girl. I'm sorry.
Oh, you hate it?
Right. It's a big deal, though.
I get that.
That's all right. That's
I'm
all right.
Sorry.
No.
You didn't read the books?
I've never read a book, and I haven't watched
I read a book or two and watched some movies, but I don't get all of it.
Yeah.
I think I've seen pieces of one. But I've never...
You're either all in.
I think I passed through a room when a kid was watching it.
Yeah, the movies are good. Speaking of movies, we were talking about the Red Rising thing, remember?
Yeah.
My favorite book series.
What up with that?
So I reached out. Haven't heard back from Pierce yet, but...
Well, that's exciting news.
But
he's big time in
I did find a news story that said that they're probably... I don't think the movie's going to happen anymore for Red Rising, but it might get turned into a TV series.
That's a good idea.
Sort of like Game of Thrones.
Because it takes so long for things to be made. I remember being shocked when I worked at William Morris. I interned there for a summer. That's a big talent agency.
Yeah, right.
And I worked in the lit department. So I was able to print off scripts and give them to people. And it wasn't until sometimes 6 and 7 years later that I would see a movie come out that I remember issuing, like printing a script for someone for. Yeah, there's the screenplay. You know, the book gets turned into something for a movie. They lease it out. Directors try and pair people together and get it cast, and it's crazy how much stuff gets left behind or how long it takes a decade to get something made.
But I think that would be a good move for this, especially because
it would be good because it's kind of Hunger Games-ish, right?
There's so much going on, and from the interviews I saw, Pierce said a lot of the characters I loved only had like one line in the movie, so this way he can expand on that.
There you go.
Make seasons instead of movies. So that's an update right there for my favorite series right
there.
Yeah,
good gig.
Got a lot of Kid Nation members that wrote me about Red Rising, which was cool.
Maybe a chance for you to get in on that,
right? Let us know when he reaches back out.
I'll talk to him again. And he didn't. Oh, it's Kelly who texted me. Kelly got stuck in traffic this morning.
Oh,
I got your text.
Gosh.
All right, Kid Nation, it's time to play. Give us a call at 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK-IT.
We're looking for caller number 17.
Come on, 17.
You get to choose anyone from the office to spin for you. You get up to 2 spins. Now, you get to pick the first one, or you spin again, but whatever it lands on the second one, you keep that one, all right? So we'll play Wheel of Gift Cards and get Jenna to read your dreams next.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Alright, here we go. Let's give away some big money right now.
Yeah.
Meet our contestant. Jordan, how you doing?
Oh my, are you serious?
I'm serious. Welcome.
Oh, I'm doing awesome. This is insane.
Welcome to the show, man. You're calling number 17. What are you up to right now, Jordan?
Man, I'm just getting off work. I'm actually getting ready to run through the drive-thru at Taco Bell.
Hey! What's your go-to?
Oh, man, the breakfast Crunchwrap sausage all day.
Oh, I haven't had that one.
It's pretty good.
Well, Taco Bell is on our wheel.
Yeah, it is on the wheel. Nice little gift card right there for you right there, Jordan. Maybe you can win that. And what do you do for work? You were working all night?
Yeah, I'm a coal miner.
Oh,
wow.
What an I don't think we've ever had a coal miner on the show.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I'm happy to be the first.
You're the first, Jordan. Congratulations.
First and favorite.
Now what's the correlation between coal and a diamond? What do you do to coal to get a diamond?
I think it's just pressure over time, but I'm not a diamond expert.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just mining it, dude. He's mining his own business, you know?
Do you go down there with that light on your helmet and you come up with the black marks all over your face?
Every morning. Yes, ma'am. Every morning.
I love that. I love that.
Oh, you probably look so cool going home from work.
So manly.
Yeah. We got a man's
man. We'll deal with that.
Yeah.
Real Democratic Morning Show.
All right, Jordan. Well, let's see how well you do with a wheel of gift cards. Who do you want to spin the wheel for you?
I'm going with my man, Big Al.
All right,
Mr. Jordan.
Come on now.
That. Even though you stumped him with that diamond question, he forgives you.
Appreciate that confidence, my brother.
I
appreciate the confidence. All right, I got the wheel right in front of me, buddy. And let's give it a good spin right there.
Something good for this coal mining man.
Let's see. Duncan. Yes, Duncan. A gift card from Duncan.
Donuts, yeah.
Let's go number two.
All right.
Well, whatever you're going to
do. He wants that Taco Bell.
All about that Dunkin' Donuts coffee, man.
He said, let's go number two.
Good stuff.
All right.
Spinning.
Jordan.
Jordan,
I think you're going to like this, Jordan. How about the Home Depot, my brother?
I love the Home Depot. Yes, sir.
How much is it, Al?
$500.
Yeah.
$500.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're
awesome.
My man.
The best morning ever.
Just for giggles, let's see how much we could have had at Dunkin'. $250.
Made the right spin.
Made the right call.
Love
Jordan.
It.
Jordan, you did just fine, buddy.
I'll come through.
Yeah.
Get you some of that Gorilla Tape next time you go. That stuff, you can do anything with that stuff.
Gorilla Tape?
Is it like Gorilla Glue?
Yeah.
It's but tape?
Glue and tape. Yeah, it's like duct tape, but it's even better.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Look at Al trying to get an endorsement.
There we go.
Not an ad.
No, not an ad.
Just
no.
Really like the Gorilla Tape.
I really like the Gorilla Tape.
That's the best new thing going on right now.
Congratulations, Jordan.
All right, Jordan, hold on for us, buddy.
Thank you all.
Good talking with you, man.
Backbone of our country right there.
Yeah. Maybe some power tools in there, too.
Coat mine.
Ryobi.
Oh, he already got tools, bro.
Maybe some DeWalt.
I'm going to tell you, I got my husband a pressure washer for Christmas.
Yeah.
He kind of was like, because what are you going to do with a pressure washer in the winter?
Right.
Telling you, he broke that bad boy out this summer.
On the patio and stuff.
He loves it.
It's so soothing to watch that thing
and you know
go
what
to
he
work.
He got for himself.
What?
He got an outdoor vacuum. You know, you see people with leaf blowers?
Yeah.
This one sucks stuff up. He loves it.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, an outdoor vacuum.
Yeah, because you think about it, the leaf blower, I mean, it's doing it's doing what it's supposed to do.
Well, they get
blowing.
Leaf suckers.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. Why are you blowing it in somebody else's yard?
Leaf sucker.
I'm just blowing my leaves out to my neighbor.
Why not?
Dude.
Yeah.
Sorry,
instead of blowing it out in the street.
So. Just looked over at Jen. I noticed she had put on her hat, which means she's ready.
It's gotten even smaller. The new one hasn't come in yet.
Your head's growing.
Yeah, it's swollen or something for weeks.
And your hair's getting thicker.
That's possible.
They say your nose and your ears never stop growing.
When you get pregnant, your hair stops falling out and your hair gets thicker and more lush.
Oh.
Just a side note. It has nothing to do with Jenna. Just a side note.
Just
for
another... Gosh.
Good, babe.
Good, babe.
When I was pregnant, I had the best, the most luscious hair, and it's just like, what is happening? Yeah. And then about 2 or 3 months after the kid comes, your hair starts falling out. But
you think you're going bald?
9 glorious months.
Huh.
You got a flowing mane.
Or maybe you're taking those vitamins again that make your
I'm not.
Hair. Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Coincidence?
Got baby fever.
Hey.
Yes. So. I have baby fever. I'm not quite ready. Uh-huh. And my mom and my friends go, well, no one's ever ready,
never.
Jenna.
Mm-mm.
Even when you think you're ready, you're not ready.
Yeah.
It's never, I was like, it's not a good time. It's never a good time.
True.
No time like the present.
It's a human.
I'm getting there, I think.
All right.
I mean, I gotta feel out this relationship.
Well, he brought his egg whites.
Could be.
I'm in.
It's a little soon, but I think I'm getting there. I'm ready.
You don't marry him, Al will. All right, Jeanette, here we go. So, Jenna loves psychology.
I do. I love it so much.
She loves interpreting dreams.
Yeah, I mean, it has to do a lot with our psyche, you know? Yep. Whatever's going on in our lives, we start dreaming, but the dreams don't often mean what we think they mean.
They don't at all, and you'd be surprised how many people have dreams very similar to ones you have.
Yeah, so this could answer some of the questions you've been having, so hopefully we get to them eventually.
Right.
You can slip into the DMs at Kid Nation on Instagram, Twitter, go to Facebook, and Anna finds them, and then we read these dreams to Jenna, and she helps you out. So let's kick it off here with this one, Jenna. What does it mean when your fiance dreams that you got kidnapped by some old guy that had me, and he was coming around in a van, and he had a gun to my neck?
Oh, my.
So it's a kidnapping dream with a gun.
Right. So when you dream about your partner being kidnapped, this is directly linked to your own feelings and insecurities about your romantic relationship.
Oh.
And interestingly, guns are a big symbol in dreams. I mean, obviously, guns are a very violent symbol in our culture. But in dreams, it can mean that you're defensive about something. They represent, like, aggression and anger. So maybe you're having some underlying relationship issues or you're feeling insecure about the status of your relationship.
Huh. All right.
Nice little sit-down talk would help with that.
Yeah.
Communicate.
Honey, can we talk? Okay.
Or Gorilla Tape.
I've got one here. It says, Dear Jenna, I keep having a dream that people in my life leave me. I will go to the store, to the gym, come home, and everything is gone. Uh-huh. No clues, no nothing.
This is sad.
It is?
Uh-oh. Oh. Yeah, because okay. These kind of abandonment dreams mean that in your waking life, you're dealing with feelings of inadequacy. So something's going on with you. This isn't about other people. This is about you. And so maybe you're feeling that you've been wronged in a way, or some people in your day-to-day life don't like you. But it doesn't have anything to do with anyone else. It's just you and your subconscious feeling inadequate in your day-to-day.
Aw, sorry.
That's the Jenna Fisher lie. She's just reading your dreams.
Hey, I'm just helping lead you to the water, and you might need to go to therapy. I'm not sure.
I can give you a solution.
Yeah. Right.
No.
I was wondering what they mean. That's what it means.
No.
Because I'm sitting there, what do I do now?
Oh, man. I don't know. I would explore this. I would explore why you feel this way.
Exactly.
Help me, Jenna.
Okay.
I keep dreaming that my husband leaves me and I am devastated and end up crying. What does that mean?
This is fascinating because it doesn't always mean what you would think. So, yes, it could mean if you've been having some fights and stuff that you are also, just like the other dream, feeling insecure about the status of your relationship. But they say that if your boyfriend, if things are okay in your waking life and your boyfriend or husband keep breaking up with you or leaving you in a dream, that it actually means you're kind of shedding a part of the relationship and maybe moving to the next level. So maybe there's something, you know, sometimes people have this dream when they're expecting a child or someone's gotten job promotion or you're moving in together or kind of big relationship steps are afoot.
Mm-hmm.
You could be dreaming that they're actually leaving you, but it's just because you're moving into the next phase of a relationship. Okay. So it depends on what you're going through. It's kind of interesting though.
Hmm. I have these lucid dreams. That's a hat feeling. Getting tired.
Snug.
Oh, it's good.
Can I take it off?
Yeah. No. Not till after the bit.
Oh, yeah.
After the bit, you can.
Fine.
Little genie, Jenna.
I'm waiting on the big one since everyone unanimously said I need the large one.
It's a large. What does it mean, Jenna, when I dream that I'm late for school or I lost my keys and it makes me late for school? Here's the catch. I'm older and I only went to high school. Like, I haven't been to school in years.
All right, so the late to school or forgetting to study for a test, this is a very common anxiety dream. So this means in your day-to-day life, I don't know exactly what this person's going through, but that you feel unworthy in your current position, or maybe you're up for a promotion, or there's just a lot of stress going on at work. It can mean, you know, you're feeling disorganized about you know, your current job or projects that you have going on. So it's really directly related to your career, but something is going on with that on the regular.
All right.
But yeah, just feeling unworthy or unprepared.
Yeah. We've all been there. You want your dream read by Jenna Owens on the show? Slip into the DMs at Kid Nation, Twitter, Instagram. Go to Facebook, wherever you feel like. We'll see it. Anna's going to hunt those down, and we'll get to them next week.
Okay.
In Florida, on vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be tropical, Genie Jenna.
Ooh.
That's what's good.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show. You can't win me, lie. You can't
win me, lie. All right, Kid Nation. This is where you can ask the show anything you want, bring up anything you would like. Our phone number is 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK-IT.
I just dove deep down memory lane with Kelly Raspberry during the break.
Mm-hmm.
She has her photo album here. I got to see Mr. Raspberry with a dope beard.
Yeah.
Just
from the Go West days.
From the Go West days.
Wow.
And in front of the store.
He looked like Gary Bertier from Remember the Titans.
It seemed like he was saying, "This is the beard the Lord has made.
Yeah.
Let's rejoice and be glad."
Yeah, I don't know if Mr. Raspberry can grow a man beard like that.
Yeah, buddy.
He should bring it back. It looks good on him. But let's see what you got to say, Kid Nation, from the text. "Hey, guys, I've always wondered, have any of you ever been in a fist fight?" I would think Kelly has not.
Not.
Never.
She has not.
Jenna, have you?
No.
Al, have you?
My last one, yeah, fifth grade, Paul Heron.
Paul Heron,
but
man.
It was more of a, you know how little kids kind of wrestle and
hustle
tussle. And yeah, it wasn't like...
Oh, yeah, I mean, I had some soccer fights. But no fist fight, but definitely some
on the pitch,
rough
on the pitch,
soccer fights. Yeah, because I've always had long hair, so girls would pull my ponytail.
Don't they catch that when you're playing? The refs don't catch
Yeah,
them?
It would get rough behind the backs, for sure. So I would shove.
You didn't see my head whip backwards for no reason, ref?
So, JC, have you had a fight this year?
No. I have in the past.
You've had.
I went through my stage where I was maybe an angry person. But I got through it.
Came out the other side.
It's much better. I tell kids, it's much better to walk away.
Yep.
It's so much better.
Amen.
It doesn't hurt. There's no embarrassment if something goes wrong.
No.
It's just walk away.
Just walk away.
Nothing wrong with
be
that.
Be the bigger guy. Yeah, be the bigger man.
Much easier.
Or a woman.
To do that. And you end up being friends once you talk it out eventually, you know? Or you could. Elizabeth wrote us and said, what's up with the Isolage? I feel like I'm missing out on this great inside joke. I don't know, Jenna and I just like saying it's a large.
Yeah, it's from
it from a song.
Oh yeah, it's a rap song.
Yeah.
Is it Migos? Who is it?
Was it Migos?
I don't know. I need to look up because I'm forgetting. No, it's someone's gonna text us and know the answer. But yeah, it's just a random lyric in the song that he says, it's a large.
It's a large.
Large. So JC and I just love that line.
We just picked it up.
It's a large.
It's a large. What's up, Shell?
Hello.
Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Shell.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. There you are.
What were you doing, Shell?
I work for a law firm.
Okay. Oh. Taking care of some law stuff.
Yes. All right. One of my chaos kid friends this morning.
So what's your question for Whatever Wednesday?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So my question is, do you think that they would put somebody on the Bachelorette that's been married more than, been divorced four times?
Well, do you have some inside information?
Inside information? What do you mean?
Well, like that's a very specific question to ask.
Are you asking for yourself?
Or like you want to go on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, and you've been married four times?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello, girl.
I think they would definitely be interested. You know, because they've never had anyone like that on the show, and I think it would be an interesting
conversation. Do you think anybody would come?
Yeah.
You could be a challenge for the right guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So what have been the reasons for all of your divorces?
Oh, my gosh. You name it.
Have you, let's be honest.
You name it.
Have you ever been at fault, or has it been the dude every time?
I think, you know, in marriage that it's not just a one-sided deal. I mean, it's always two-sided. It takes two people.
Okay.
You think you just married too quickly? You didn't know each other well enough?
I do. I was married for the first time for almost 10 years. He was my high school sweetheart, and things just didn't go well. So, and that kind of, I think it crushed me. So I think after that point, I was just looking for somebody to heal that wound, you know?
Would you be okay with your four ex-husbands being four of the guys looking for love?
Al, she's got answers.
Oh, no.
Oh, you good? Whoa, go ahead and answer the phone.
All right.
Great, thanks.
Good, babe.
She hasn't got time for therapy.
Well, you know what, Shell? If you ever decide to go on The Bachelor, you tell us. We'll throw a whole campaign to be let you be the first four-time divorcee on the show.
It would be interesting, but honestly, don't they have an age limit for the women on the show?
I don't think so.
Like 25, 26.
Because I've seen Ari Leyendijk was like 35 when he went on the show.
Women.
Off of the women.
The Bachelorettes.
I think the oldest maybe has been 31 or 32.
32,
maybe.
I think. Yeah, I think we had a 32-year-old on there.
I'm just guessing. If you've been married four times, you're probably outside their age window for women.
Well, they need to realize that older women are
beautiful lovers.
Yeah. Good song, too, by the way. From the text.
Yes.
Oh, you guys were talking about underwear and how Justin Bieber's underwear was taken. My ex-wife has Bonnie's underwear. Bonnie from Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, wow.
They were left in an apartment after a shootout with the police.
Wow.
My ex's grandmother was in charge of delivering them to their milk, and the rest of their belongings went to the museum. So she got a pair of Bonnie's underwear.
Wow. I wonder what they look like.
It's probably
puffy and white.
The granny panties.
Yeah.
That they're all shot up.
Wow.
Yeah. Those were okay. Those made it out. Oh, those would be so interesting to have. Hi.
Yeah.
It would be.
You want to see something?
I got Bonnie's underwear.
I got Bonnie and Clyde's underwear.
Nobody would believe it.
They won't believe it.
No.
That's just some dirty underwear.
Some dirty old drawers.
Never mind. I don't want the underwear. Hi, Annette.
Hi, Angela, by the way.
Oh, Angela, I'm sorry.
You're fine. You're good. So I just wanted to say the whole Bella Thorne thing, all three y'all were just talking about, got me really frustrated and heated for a second. She needs to take responsibility. She's putting responsibility on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. She's putting the attention on somebody else. And it's not going to happen that way, sweetheart. You're famous. Our parents taught us, you know, with this day and age, you can't take a picture and it be deleted when you delete it. It is out there, and it will always remain out there, no matter what, once you take that picture.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with slut shaming or life. You know, life ain't fair.
Right. We just want people to be careful, girls especially.
Oh, it is, yeah.
There's people wanting to take advantage out there. Yeah. Nobody's going at Bella Thorne. No way.
She's a brat.
We're just trying to help.
She's just a brat. And if anybody ever disagrees with her, this is how they overreact.
And Mara has a cool celebrity encounter. What happened, Mara?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. So, I heard your Pizza Box story about Machine Gun Kelly earlier this week.
Yeah.
About 5 years ago, Seth Meyers came to my university and did a speech. And we were the members that worked the event, so we got to take a picture with him afterward.
Yeah.
And so after we were all standing around eating pizza, we had thought he had already left. And then we see his bodyguard and him walk through, and he sees our pizza that's sitting on the table by the exit. And he goes, "Oh, pizza!" and just grabs a slice and walks right out. And we all start freaking out and screaming, and we're like, "Oh my god, he ate our pizza!" And then the crazy fangirl I am, I kept the pizza box and I've had it for 5 years in my room.
Oh my gosh.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
Seth Meyers took her pizza. Not to be confused with Machine Gun Kelly handing me his pizza.
And saying
take it, Jay.
Take it, Jay.
Way different, Jay.
I did not steal Machine Gun Kelly's pizza the way Seth stole Mara's. Cool story, though.
Mm-hmm.
And did you keep the pizza box?
I did not. I should have kept the box.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, Kels took it. Kels took it in to his dressing room. I call him Kels now.
Kels.
All right, Kid Nation. Hey, we got a cool guest in the studio with us next. The name of her podcast is Untitled Dad Project. And if you love investigating and learning about your life, that's exactly what she's doing. You'll get to hear from her next.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Joining us in the studio right now, everybody. Hot new podcast alert. It's called The Untitled Dad Project.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of it. Doesn't mean that it doesn't have a name.
Yeah, not a waiting title. That is the title.
And in studio with us right now is Janielle. Did I say your name right?
You are so close. You get so many points. Janielle Kastner.
Now, this is about you or the character Jan.
Mm-hmm.
But it's based on your life story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell us about it, because it has to do with your dad, because you grew up in a single-parent household.
Yeah, I did. So I never really knew why my dad wasn't in my life. I just never really knew. Yeah. He just wasn't around. I think a lot of us kind of have that story.
I have that, yeah.
Yeah, just sort of, but you're fine. And then
I go to therapy.
Yeah, exactly. You're fine-ish.
The opposite of fine.
Yeah, fine-ish. Therapy's
right.
The best. If anything, my podcast is Untitled Therapy Project. Everyone go to therapy.
It's the best.
So I just never really knew why he wasn't in my life. And then about 4.5 years ago, I got his email address, and I decided I was going to reach out and sort of like reclaim the narrative, you know, like protagonist, like this is the moment, zoom in, her whole life changes, what's going to happen next? And I kept drafting a message in my mind because I wanted
to be perfect.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, it has like 20-something years behind. It's got to be perfect.
What kind of vibe did it have? Was it a little bit of angry because you're not there vibe? A little bit of I forgive you too, but I'm still going to be mad and I did okay?
It was typing and deleting and typing and deleting. Because how do you say I forgive you to someone who's never said I'm sorry? That's what it was. You know that feeling?
Yeah.
The last I had a couple touch points with him over the course of my life. And about 10 years ago, or 2006, I got a birthday card from him that was signed Dad/Rick.
Oh. Mm.
Right? Okay. Like both and?
Well, maybe he feels like he wasn't worthy of the title, right?
It tells you so much you need to know and also nothing you need to know.
Yeah.
And I just stared at it as a kid. So I got as far as like Dad, comma, and then like backspace Rick, comma, and then you know Dad/Rick. I couldn't figure it out.
Isn't it weird? You don't even know what to call them, even though they're your father. But it's like, what do I call you?
It's weird. So fraught. So I typed into deleted, and then I was drafting it for 6 months, and then I found out that he died and was declared dead on my birthday before I could send him anything. And then I found out that none of his friends knew that I existed, and so I kind of jumped into his life as the surprise daughter at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And so that didn't make any emotional sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, what do you? It didn't make emotional sense, and I felt like a character who like doesn't have lines anymore.
Yeah.
Like I had a script ready, right? The email is going to be amazing.
It's going to come out this way.
Yeah, I had a plot, and then it twisted, not in a fun way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't have lines anymore, and then like I had a genre, you know? I was like indie rom-com, like young writer, and she has like a great mom, and they're like codependent, but like in the Gilmore Girls way, it's cute. And then all of a sudden, I'm in a soap opera.
Yeah.
And, like, a surprise daughter at a funeral.
How did that go over?
Oh, it was really painful and hard for everyone involved. Well, there's no lines.
Was he married with a family?
No, no.
Single guy.
Oh, okay. Single guy, had a lot of friends who loved him, who he met a lot to, who just didn't know this big part of his life.
Did you have this awkward conversation like we all have at funerals when you don't recognize someone? Like, how do you know the deceased?
And no, no, they all kind of knew who I was walking in there. It was sort of...
resemblance was there?
Yeah, it was a bit of a head turn look. Everyone kind of had gotten the text message or Facebook message like, hey,
looks
he had
like
a daughter.
Look.
Yeah, they all knew that he had a daughter, and some were delighted to meet me. Others were like, what do we do? And a lot of things people said was, how come we didn't know about you? And I was like, that's a great question.
I was about to ask you that.
Did some of them feel betrayed?
You know what? In the moment, I was just feeling so much pain, and now 4 years into this podcast and investigation, I'm now realizing how much pain they must have felt, too.
Yeah.
We thought we knew you. You were close enough. You could have said something.
He's really loved by all of his friends, and he matters a lot to people. And
so does it make sense that this man they loved could abandon that part of his life?
Yeah, but then so many... Do. I mean, I'm one character who looks like so many other characters.
Yeah, I bet you've had just an overwhelming amount of people reach out to you with the same story.
Yeah, you feel like you're all alone when you're a kid, and you think your experience is so individual, and you think there's things you have to hide. And then this has been like such an exercise in vulnerability, but it's meant that I found so many of my people who get it.
I was going to ask, are there any other siblings that you found out about?
No, nothing cool. That'd be such a cool angle to the story. Yeah. No, it's just a quiet, simple story of somebody who was a guy that people loved, wasn't in my life, and I didn't have access to my story, so now I'm figuring out my story. I'm figuring out what my dad character means in my life, what he means in my story.
How did your mom feel about this journey for you?
That's what I was going to say. How did she tell you as a child that you're... How did she explain to you as a child why your dad wasn't there?
You know what was so fun was sitting down and interviewing her and her realizing that she had no idea that she had never really talked about my dad.
Oh.
She was just busy being a single mom.
You said a line in your trailer for your podcast that it was something... It's funny how certain lines our parents tell us when we're little stick with us, but they completely throw it away. Mm-hmm. Because you started noticing kids at school had moms and dads.
And I asked, what do I say when my friends ask why I have a mommy and not a mommy and a daddy? And she said, just tell them it's not your story to tell.
And your mom didn't remember saying that, but that stuck with you. That stuck with you from preschool.
She had no idea. She told me, after interviewing her for this project, she made it clear. She was like, oh, I just meant, like, you don't have to defend yourself to anybody.
But you took it...
I was just, like, eight and a sponge, and I took it like, oh, it's not my story to tell. I just, you don't get to know some things about your story. And I decided to take that in my own hands. So now, through the power of storytelling, each episode we take a different narrative lens, and I figure out how it can help me figure out my... simple, regular, universal, specific story. So the first one's inciting incident. Okay, great. I talked to a screenwriter. The inciting incident is your dad died, but not for the reason you thought, because your life didn't change, right? You don't have a dad. Continue to not have a dad. But something broke. So how can we figure out what broke? Hmm. The next one's genre. I talked to a soap opera actress. Like, how do I embrace my new genre now that I find myself in it? And she helps me throw a glass of water and write lines to my ghost dad. And it was really triumphant. And I'm like, that's how I've been living this project so far. Just say whatever I mean. Say what I want to say. Have a directive. Repeat people's names. Look them in the eyes. And do what I mean to do.
Was it hard to... Because I feel like you wanted to grieve, but you don't know how to grieve when you lose someone that was not in your life.
Yeah, it's... I have a term for it now that I've talked to a billion therapists on my podcast, disenfranchised grief.
Yeah.
If you're the mistress at the funeral and no one knows about you, how do you grieve somebody?
Oh, I've been to one of those funerals.
Yeah.
Oh,
if
boy.
You're the child, if your child no one knew about and never had access, you know, what do you do if you don't have a clear narrative?
Well, in my case, they escorted her out of the funeral before she could tell anybody.
She wanted to say things.
Speaking to his friends, what's been the coolest thing that you've discovered about your dad?
Finding out that I have his laugh.
Oh, yeah?
And I have a smile. And that he was so loved by the people who knew him. It's been, I inherited all of his stuff. I got a box of his stuff. I got my dad in a box. And I found his report card from when he was 5.
How'd he do?
So good on everything. Creative and spades. Oh. All these things. Exceeds marks on everything. And the only thing that he had, needs to work on was accepting consequences for actions. It was this moment of saying, oh, wow, look. Like,
from the age of 5.
Characters can be consistent, but picturing him as a 5-year-old, like just, I don't know, knocking over some kid's block and not taking responsibility made me, I got to love him. I got to love little 5-year-old dad.
You had all these tools already handed. A lot of people are doing it through 23andMe, and they got to find the DNA. You had all this ready for you whenever you were ready to do your journey. Like, your mom had the connect. the connection, so the email and all that. You didn't have to find out his name. You had his name already.
Yes, you're right. You're right. It was all just there. So, like, a big thing we investigate in the story is why did it take me this long?
Right.
You can't do anything until you're ready. You can't feel your feelings until you're ready to feel them. I just wasn't ready, and all of a sudden I had everything. And that email I was going to draft to him, it was supposed to be an email of, like, forgiveness and, like, letting him off the hook. And then I realized through this project, I had no business letting him off the hook. I had no business forgiving him. My only business was to say hi.
Yeah.
I haven't been ready to do that yet.
Now, I hope this isn't a spoiler, and if you just don't answer it, but do you continue the letter and then eventually read it on your podcast?
Well, the thing that I've been, like, adamant like a ferocious dog about was finding my own meaningful narrative resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's what I want, that feeling in the movie, you know, when you're like, oh, of course, it's like after the third act and it all makes sense. And even if it's sad, it, like, moves you and it feels worthy. Like, that's the thing I've been chasing. Like, okay, for my story, how can I, in all this absence and all this nothingness and all this, like, ordinary senseless loss, how can I get that thing? And I thought it was going to be the email. And, like, I would finally, like, I don't know, find a way to get it to him in the beyond. I don't know what I thought I would do, but it's come from a lot of other places I didn't realize.
But people write letters to deceased all the time, so it's still not too late to
do that. Well, I'm on chapter 6 of 8, so maybe that'll be 7 or 8. Maybe I'll say, Al told me I should probably do this.
It's got a finite ending for you.
Yeah, I put these, I put, like, narrative chapter titles, you know, genre, it's any incident script, all these things. I put post-it notes on my board in, like, the kind of the pit of grief right after my dad died and said, okay, you're going to make something. And it was a delusional thing to do. What a delusional thing to do. Just decide I'm going to get a meaningful narrative arc. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a conclusion.
Well, yeah, because life doesn't always resemble a movie. You know, sometimes it just kind of ends with no ending, or it just kind of continues, right?
Yeah, but I'm still chasing that resolution. And I'm here I am on 6 of 8, right?
Yeah.
So it's right there. I have finale as 8, so we'll see what it is.
Better find it.
But
or season 2.
There's always season 2. Or you could help other people, because I'm sure that what you're going to be noticing, and you've noticed doing this podcast, is that there's so many people that are dealing with what you're going through and what you went through, right?
Yeah,
because you feel very alone when you're in that situation.
You do. When you're a kid, you have these parent figures, and they feel like gods, right?
Perfect. They feel perfect.
Yeah, they feel that way. And then learning that they aren't nearly as perfect as you thought, but that you still have a capacity to love them, is so much work, but it's been really worthy.
And who pushed you? It was your friend that pushed you into doing the podcast, or is that something you wanted to do and your friend was just there along with it?
Cam? Oh, Carson McCain. Director. Carson McCain's wonderful. No, I decided I wanted to make something.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, so I'm normally a playwright, but I thought, what do I want to do? And I decided I wanted to do audio because it's so intimate. You guys know that.
Yeah.
In someone's ears, as quiet as someone's ear, but they don't know you're talking to them, but you're talking to them while they're on the train. I knew I wanted it to be intimate. I knew I wanted it to take time. Mm. And so audio was the right thing. So I decided to make a podcast when I decided to make something of this.
Well, how can we check this out? The Untitled Dad Project. Where do we go?
Wherever podcasts are not sold. Everywhere that you can just download podcasts for free.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.